You're listening to the Thomas Talks Podcast.
Welcome to Thomas Talks Podcast, where we talk about anything and everything school buses. I'm your host, Tom Zelke from Daimler Trucks North America, and joining me today is Kaylee Edgerly, President and CEO of Thomas Build Buses, and Mark Childers, Powertrain and Technology Sales Manager at Thomas Build Buses. On today's podcast, we're talking about the future of electric school buses. We'll talk about new EV technologies on the horizon, extended range and battery power, and maybe even some changes to the cost of EV school buses in the future. Let's get started. Now, explain to me a little bit about this V2G and V2B technology that I'm hearing about. What is that and why does it matter?
I'll let Mark get into the technical why it matters, but I'll just set it up. Vehicle to grid, V2G, is bidirectional flow of electricity from the grid to the bus and from the bus backwards. That's what it is. And the huge opportunity is the school bus is only on the road, let's say less than 50% of the time. So you've got an asset, let's call it an expensive asset, that's being used less than 50% of the time, different than most other commercial vehicles. There lies the opportunity, and I'll let Mark take it from there.
Yeah, thanks, Kaylee. Great set that up in terms of what that opportunity looks like. And I'll pull up an analogy, maybe kind of the analogy theme of many of us may have a portable battery in our pocket or in our backpack where we use to charge our cell phones or something like that. Essentially, that's what vehicle to grid using a school bus kind of acts like, where you have a vehicle, it's got wheels, and the vehicle is able, with the right charging infrastructure, the right programming set up with the utility, to be able to take the energy when it's not being used, as Kaylee said, during those long periods over the summer or breaks, to make that available to our utility partners to say, you know, here's some energy, and they would use that energy to manage their own operations in terms of how they manage the grid. That's kind of the lingo that you probably hear about peak shaving or things like that in the lingo. And really what they're doing is just taking, you know, we're taking a school bus, lots of school buses who, you know, with 226 kilowatts, doesn't take long for that to get to over a megawatt, and using that to help our utility providers support the demands that we have every day on the grid, and to kind of balance out those grids. Because they really need to be able to find energy in a cost-effective way. And having storage on a school bus is one of those assets that they can deploy. The other thing, too, is that as the utility industry begins to grow their market and try to reduce their CO2 footprint, they're looking for energy from renewables, such as wind power, solar power. And so in their market space, they have to put that energy somewhere if they're not going to consume it. And using the school bus and is an opportunity for them to store that energy when they can generate it and then bring it back onto the grid at a later point in time when they need it.
The school bus just got another job, right? It fundamentally for tens of years, lone job was to transport our children, but now it has another useful utility to society, to the utility. So it's got another job, and it kind of comes for free. It's pretty cool, and it's gonna drive new business models in the future.
You know, great comments, but is the technology really viable today with what's out there in the infrastructure?
You know, when you look at the product viability and then this whole thing around V2G, it's evolving. And we're in the infancy side of that with our utility partners around vehicle to grid, vehicle to building. And we are having very engaged conversations and for that type of technology to be something in the future that's very, very common for the school bus. And so the path ahead is it's a longer path than what we might think on terms of is it here next year or something to that effect. But, you know, there is a willingness in the utility, a willingness on our part to, as Kaylee said, kind of deploy the school bus to a new purpose, you know, kind of a secondary purpose. And the technology is in the works to get there on a very common platform with vehicle to grid, vehicle to building, things like that, using the school bus.
What we expect to see, Tom, is more standardization. So I said it's out there right now, and Mark said it's evolving. It's evolving because it has to evolve to every single use case, every single utility, every single charger right now. So it's out there, but it's complicated because there's no standardized way to do it right now, since it's such a new concept. We are confident we'll see standardization as we go forward, and that's why Mark says it's kind of a longer path, because we need that standardization to be developed. So it's kind of, you do it once, you do it for all. Right now, you do it once, and then you do it another time. Every vehicle to grid setup is its own technical job to complete. Once we get standardization, you do it once, you should be able to apply the V to G that you did in, let's say, Arkansas, to something that you're doing in Oregon.
What about districts? Can they make money from this technology?
So I'll take that one, Kaylee. And in terms of, it's a great question. So yeah, there is the potential for school districts to do that. And I would say that it's a simple question, but it's a very complex answer to be able to get there, to realize what kind of revenues they might be able to generate. And a lot of that becomes very important conversations with utility companies in regards to that. The future is that we see that as a viable revenue source. But again, it's a very long path, as Kaylee was talking about, standardizations, programs from the utilities. Utilities, you know, need to prepare or have to prepare themselves for this. Some have programs already in place today in terms of the renewable solar side of it. So that, you know, if you put a solar panel on your home, you might get what they call a credit to your power bill at the end of the month. They call that net metering. So that's in place at a small level, but we're talking about large batteries, large numbers of vehicles. That whole scale is much different today. And so we're working with the utilities and customers who engage with their utility. It's a great question, one that they really do need to ask. And we certainly can be a part of that conversation to kind of help them think through that, what that might be for their school district.
Great. What about charging infrastructure, Mark? Can you explain the difference between AC and DC charging and why it matters?
Yeah, it's a great question for this market and in terms of those two. So let's start off with just kind of some basic information around AC. AC charging is known as alternating current, and DC is known as direct current. In the marketplace today, typically what you have seen or in the passenger car side is a lot of AC current vehicles. So it's a lower charge rate on the vehicle. It's doesn't require as much work on the infrastructure side to install that. So you could take a very low powered AC charger at 19.2 kilowatts and charge a Prius or a Leaf or a Volt in those terms of characters of vocal, more so towards the passenger car side scenario. When you look at the DC charge component of the industry, that's moving more towards the medium duty, heavy duty charging infrastructure requirements of commercial vehicles in terms of being able to charge vehicles in a quicker amount of time so that those vehicles can be utilized, more often. You know, if you think about your personal car, you charge it maybe overnight, you might drive it a few times during the day. If you're working, it's not being used. But the commercial vehicle side and the school bus market side really looks at the DC charge as kind of the must-have kind of platform because of operations. Vehicles are running throughout the day, schools are operating, and DC offers us the ability to charge vehicles at a much faster rate than an AC does. The other piece of that is what we just, you know, when we talked about vehicle to grid, DC charging offers us the ability not only to charge at a higher rate, but it also will allow us to discharge at that rate for the utility. So it becomes a very important component of that conversation around being able to use vehicle to grid and the demand that's out there. So those are the two different types of platforms. Our product is, we saw in the future in terms of our Julie, realizing that we know that our product would be used and would need to have that faster charge. So our platform is a DC fast charge with our Julie product. So that's where we are with our product and those two there. Does that help answer that question a little bit, Tom?
Yeah, great job. I appreciate that, Mark. But I want to switch topics real quick and talk about cost. Do you see electric school buses increasing in cost as new innovations are developed, or do you think that there will be a decrease in those costs?
That's a pretty easy one to answer, Tom. I think you know the answer to that before you even asked it. We're only making hundreds, let's say, as an industry this year. And let's take the whole commercial vehicle market. Let's look at our parent company, Daimler Trucks, of which we're a part of and part of producing 500,000 vehicles a year. Yeah. Hundreds of them out of 500,000 were EVs this last year, not thousands or tens of thousands. As we ramp up EV production, the costs are going to come down. Technology will advance, but if you think of all 500,000 of those vehicles, they all have power steering pumps on them that turn, air compressors that turn, pistons that go up and down, transmissions that go round and round. They don't have these electric motors that are quite expensive at times. They don't have batteries that are made in just limited production. We'll see a huge shift in cost downward when we scale up production. We're working with our vendors on a lot of these components already and are seeing commitments to the future for cost cuts. And it's our job to drive those costs down to make it commercially more viable.
So in the future, how will cost in total cost of ownership of electric school buses compare to diesel school buses? And Kayla, you started answering some of that question, but could you expound a bit more?
It will be a cost shift. We look to the day where it can be neutral to operate an electric bus compared to a school bus, the acquisition costs and the operating costs being neutral. And that day's coming sooner than later. Will it ever get 100% neutral? I don't know. There could be, like, let's say a 10% difference that's 10% more costly to operate an EV. Maybe, maybe not. I think what we'll find that it's a noble cause, even if it's, say, 5% more, because you're operating a vehicle which is more beneficial to our environment. And I think that's a noble cause, but we're still going to try to push price parity or even lower. But you're going to see other things kick in as well, regulations and some taxes and some policymakers, which I think are going to help push those costs down even lower to assist, just because of what I said. It's the right thing to do. It's huge investment for us. It's not a moneymaker getting right out of the gate. We don't view it as that. We view it as doing the right thing and investing in the future, and it's our job to drive the cost down. I can see the day where it's very, very close. Mark, you want to expand upon that?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at I think the big point you're talking there, Kaylee, is around scalability. And as an industry, as it becomes scalable and we move up into volume, you know, as you talked about a pump and those, all those components, we're going to see that volume improve and increase. And with that, you know, we're going to see those costs decrease. And part of our mission is to pass that along to our customers, because the long-term play is to make an EV school bus as best we can on parity with what we have today. And I think that is such a good picture there, that TCO is something that we work with our customers on to help them understand it. We have tools here within the Thomas family to kind of walk through that, and we are dialing into that more and more with our customers, because they are asking those questions today around, you know, which one is it? What TCO? Is it diesel? Is it electric? Which do I choose? And we really do want to dial that in and see those costs drive, see those costs come down and drive to a price point that it's, you know, it's not a reach for a school district to think about EV.
I just want to continue to hammer this point that there will come a time when you hit that parity because of scale, and it might be 10 years, it might be 15 years, it could be 5 years. It's our job to get it close and do the right thing. If it's close and we our industry is shifting to take greenhouse gases out of the environment, then it's close enough, and we should maybe get some help from regulators, policymakers to bridge that gap, and I think that help is coming. So it's going to get close, maybe not even, sooner than we think, and once we get close, eventually it will get even.
You know, finally, let's talk about where we're heading. What new technologies are on the horizon, and when can we expect to see them? And a second part of this question is, do you think these new technologies will make EV viable for even more districts across the country?
Yeah, I think, you know, we look at the EV market in terms of new technologies that are coming. We see, you know, conversations around, hydrogen, out there in the commercial side. I think for us in the school bus market for the next, say, 5 to 10 years, where we are with our technology, we'll continue to see improvements, incremental improvements in cell technology, battery management systems, other systems on the bus. I mean, today we've taken a diesel bus and we've redesigned it from the ground up, but in many cases we've kind of used our current thinking. And I think where we're going to see these evolutions in the next year, new technologies are going to be around, how do we manage the vehicle from a battery management system? How do we heat the interior cab of the vehicle? Can we find more efficient components that come online in the technology area that we can integrate into the bus to make it much more efficient? Again, trying to increase the range of the product. Heating is a big area that we're going to explore over the next 5 to 10 years of looking at new providers in there. And then the HVAC system as well. Can we find newer technologies that can improve the overall efficiency of the vehicle? At the same time, we're also going to be looking at, you know, these other type of components in terms of fuels maybe, and then also some of the, you know, the powertrains that we have in the vehicles. Do we move more towards e-axles in terms of the product to kind of give us a broader range of technology and options and things like that? So one of the benefits of Thomas being a part of the Daimler global network is that we see our brethren in the commercial truck side kind of looking into some of those technologies, and we are able to kind of, you know, borrow proudly and kind of use their learnings and explore, does it make sense for our product in the school bus market? I don't know, Kaylee, do you have anything to add on to that?
I'm glad you brought up the powertrain side of it, or the driveline maybe is a better word, and e-axles or hub wheels that are all electrified. Those are some of the different technologies we're seeing, and they become more efficient, less losses from motion. Therefore, you need fewer batteries, and battery cells are evolving and becoming more dense as well. So fewer batteries because of density, fewer batteries because of a more efficient driveline. Those are advancements we see. And then I think to highlight something we talked about earlier, you'll see technology advancements on the charger as well. And that's really important. So you'll see larger chargers capable of handling a whole fleet, capable of being dialed into those standards we talked about from a V to G standpoint. So let us not forget about the technology evolution that we're going to see coming on the chargers, as well as the drivetrain and the batteries. But it's all in the works already.
Gentlemen, this ends our podcast for today on the future of EV. I want to thank you so much for both being here, and we look forward to the next Thomas Talks podcast.